There is legitimate reason to believe that both franchises have turned the corner here. You could start with the Giants and their quarterback situation and the talent that they have. We could start with the Jets and talk about a new head coach, a new regime, and a clean field. But I think realistic reasons to be optimistic, not just about this year, but maybe that this is the beginning of the turnaround for each of these two franchises.
I'm with you. You know, there's contrived fear and there's baseless fear. And I don't think that this is it. There's enough elements here, whether it's, you know, Dart, who's obviously going to be a massive storyline, Aaron Glenn, first year as head coach, hopefully changed the Jets culture. Both teams have some really good pieces on defense. Now, what the divisions look like and future draft choices and ownership, there's a lot to get to, but I do agree. I think that in years past, you know, we've sat here and we fought the good fight. All right, if this happens, if that happens, if this happens, if that happens, maybe if we get lucky, if this guy could do this, if that happens in Buffalo or in Dallas, whatever it might be, like we run ourselves in circles. Like we twist our brains in knots trying to carve out a path of relevance for both the Jets and the Giants, because let's face it, we are desperate for relevant, competitive football. And I got to be honest with you, I think the seeds have been planted to get that.
At the very least, the main reasons would be a new head coach in with the Jets, a fresh start there, and a new quarterback or quarterbacks, but specifically Jackson Dart with the Giants. So it's not just about, oh, look at the tough schedule. And obviously we'll get into that. I can't wait to get into that, whether it's the week one matchups or just beyond in this particular season. But the reason for long-term belief is if you believed in Brian Daboll, you're going to see him now in year four with a talented group. Regardless of where they end up at the end of the year, you want to see some positive signs. But you know that Jackson Dart is looming, whether it's in week five, whether it's week 11, whether it's even to start next year. At least you know that the future of the Giants franchise is in a better spot today than it was last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, because the potential of having your quarterback in Dart is greater than what we saw with Daniel Jones. And for the Jets, it's the that's why I probably side with the Giants. I think they're set up better, not for success this year, talking about long-term.
Big picture.
Because they have the quarterback in place, whereas the Jets are just starting to lay the groundwork for a foundation with Aaron Glenn. And they're like, we're not even thinking about the future quarterback yet. We're trying to see the groundwork being laid in year one.
Well, that's what makes it interesting, and it makes it a little bit of a tough read. And, you know, if you were to try to pin me down for an answer like whose future is brighter right now, I can honestly go either way. I really can't, because either team, there's going to be a leap of faith involved. Again, talk about Jackson Dart, and Jackson Dart appears to be the right draft choice. And it looks as if the Giants have nailed this, and it looks like when he plays, he's going to look pretty good.
But I myself am not going to go that far. I'm just excited that they have the potential.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and then when he gets the opportunity, then it's going to be about, okay, is he, like, I'm not saying he is the answer.
Yeah,
I'm saying is they have the potential answer in place. Same thing with Aaron Glenn. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You can think he's going to be great. I can think, I don't know. But the potential of a new head coach saying all the right things, that's the appeal. But we don't know whether Dart or Aaron Glenn are going to be the right guy.
I agree, but that's what makes it appealing. That's what makes it the possibilities enticing. Because there's nothing worse, especially in football, like there's nothing worse when it's stale. Like when you know, even if your quarterback's okay like Daniel Jones, you just know Daniel Jones was never going to be it. You were never going to have the snapshot, the visual of Daniel Jones hoisting up the Lombardi Trophy, Giants number five champion. You just knew it. Even when he beat Minnesota back in 22, because the next game against Philly, it looked like they were the JV team. So the staleness has gone away from the Giants. And from a Jets perspective, the staleness that had forever infiltrated this building, you just knew that Robert Saleh was, forget about the quarterback stuff, was so overwhelmed. They wasn't a real leader in the building. And now you look at Aaron Glenn, and again, it's a leap of faith. We've got to connect dots. We've got to see him get the job done. We've got to see him, you know, really week to week grow, get rid of the penalties, know how to handle time and down a distance and all that clock management stuff, which the good coaches could do. But at least there's a freshness and a conviction that they've got a guy whose shoulders are broad enough for the job and is ready to roll. So it's not about, oh, the Jets are going to do 11 games of the Giants this, and Dart's going to be like Eli. Nobody really knows, but there's a freshness and there's a hope. And I'll take it. Thank God.
Well, think about where we were a year ago. 2 years ago with the Jets, it was different because there was legitimate hope and reason to believe in the team, whether it's what they had on defense or Aaron Rodgers coming in. Obviously, the injury derailed everything. Giants, a little bit of a different story. But think about where we were last year with both these teams. I'm yelling and screaming, I can't watch Daniel Jones anymore. Move on from Daniel Jones. You made a mistake. I didn't want the wide receiver, as good as neighbors can be. You had to pick a quarterback. So I was waiting to get to this point that we're at. And with the Jets, it was about, oh, God, Aaron Rodgers, you know, 40 years old, coming off that significant injury. Salah's not a good head coach. He's overmatched. They should have made a change. And it played out that exact way, where both teams had miserable seasons. So from that standpoint alone, where we were at with the negative energy and feel and the impending doom a year ago, it's totally different. It does not mean that each team is going to have great success right out of the gate or at any point this year.
For sure.
It just means that the feel is totally different, and it's not impending doom. It's more optimism with each side.
I think that both fan bases are invigorated for all the reasons that we just ran through. By the way, now, this doesn't mean immediate team success. We want to be clear about that, although I think I'm a little bit higher on both teams than Sal. We'll get the calls, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. But if you look at, like, and I know that even bad Jet teams and bad Giant teams have had a couple of very good players, but you look at the Giants roster, you know, Andrew Thomas, obviously Burns, obviously Lawrence, hopefully down the road, the quarterback, like the Giant, and I'm leaving players out, Abdul Carter, yeah. I mean, there's maybe Thibodeau, there's five, six, seven neighbors who are legitimately either already superstars or have a chance to really punctuate that this season with a big season. Same thing for the Jets. You know, obviously they've got a young, outstanding left tackle. Sauce just got paid. I know last year was down, but Sauce is really talented. Garrett Wilson's incredible. Breece Hall's really good. Quinton Williams could be all pro. He's already been Pro Bowl, and other players as well. So you look at both rosters, there's reason for hope. Now, again, how does football is very unforgiving. This could very well be 0-3 for both teams. I don't think it will be, but it's go time. And it finally seems as if the positivity or the hope is not unfounded. And that's a good place to be.
I do think that the one team that has to win sooner is obviously the Giants. When you talk about year four in a regime with Joe Shane and Brian Dable, when you talk about all the pieces that they now have in place, there are no more excuses. Whereas with the Jets, it's year one. So for me, if the Jets win five games, it's like, all right, well, I'm looking at, I want to see, as Aaron Glenn said, a team that the fans can be proud of, a team that plays the game the right way, that's competitive, the foundation is being laid. So I'm not judging them on the win-loss, where I do think there's got to be an element to that with the win-loss for the Giants, even with potentially going to Jackson Dart, whenever it is that they decide to go to him. That, like, if their defense isn't as good as we think it's going to be, if their offense doesn't move the ball and score some points, if they're not winning some of these games regardless of the schedule, I do think that's a bad thing for the Giants. They're going to have to win more games this year than, say, the Jets, who are, to me, not going to be evaluated on the win-loss record.
Well, that's part of the positivity here, at least, you know, from the division stuff. Now, the Eagles are champions. Eagles are good. And we'll get to last night a little bit later in the show. I mean, just a ridiculous start to the game and an interesting finish and delay. But you worried about Dallas? I'm watching the Dallas Cowboys last night. Now, I know that CeeDee Lamb, and he had a rough night, four drops, is an absolute monster. And I've got great respect for Dak Prescott. Are you telling me that this Giants front seven, not going to have Dak, whether it's in Dallas or here, going to have Dak Prescott running from the opening snap? They're going to bludgeon him. Like, should the Giants be afraid of the Cowboys? I don't think so.
I wouldn't say afraid, so. But I'm not going to overreact to one sloppy, choppy game. We get into that after we get some.
I get that, but that's part of the evaluation. Now the Dallas offense, that's going to be their strength, as I told you yesterday. Right. But their defense stinks.
Right. Well, the Giants can be able to stop the Eagles or Cowboys. Hey, before we get to that, how about the Giants?
The Commanders.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. BT and Sal, the fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. NFL Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy week one matchup between Pittsburgh and New York, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Come on, it's nothing. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Charlie's in Bethpage. Charlie, you're already upset about your Jets. I could feel it.
BT and Sal, good morning. But it's a good Friday for football, baby. I am pumped right now. I'm actually at the Harmony getting all my box numbers for the weekend. I'm ready for football.
Can you get us
the New York
Jets? I need some juice. I'm getting itchy.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm just telling you right now. They owe the Steelers an ass-kicking. I drove out to Pittsburgh last year and watched Russell Wilson make the Jets look silly. It's our turn to a payback. And we got to do it this weekend, and we need to see it. I'm skeptical about the quarterback position. I didn't see it. We got to run the ball. We have an offensive line. We took an injury this week. That hurts us. But we have enough backups that can pick up the slack. But the Jets better come out fired up. I believe in Glenn. I love him as a player. I love him as a leader. And we're going in the right direction. The quarterback position, I needed to see more from this kid during spring season and didn't see much of him. So they must be holding him back for some reason. I want to see it this weekend. I cannot have a setback like last year.
Yeah. Thanks for the call there, Charlie. Listen, to me, the evaluation of the Jets, it's two very different things. Like, the offense is going to be a work in progress. I mean, if it's situations where, you know, it's 2nd and 13, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 11, Jets are dead. Like, listen, everybody knows. Now, Justin Fields has gotten better throwing the football incrementally percentage-wise. The stats back that up, but he is still a slightly below average thrower of the football. The Jets can't win that way. At least they can't win that way consistently. So the offense is going to be more of a week-to-week growth. I know what they're going to try to do, but I don't know if they'll be able to do it right away. The Jets defense has no excuses this weekend. Number one, the field's going to be wet. In all probability, it's going to rain on Sunday. Rodgers is 41 years old, and you've got some elite defensive players, and I'm not particularly concerned about the Steelers' offense. Now, their O-line is good. It really is. But are you telling me the Jets defense shouldn't be punishing Aaron Rodgers from the opening snap? Why not?
I don't want to. I mean, look, I think the Steelers are going to lie. No, you could say that. I think the Steelers are going to be right.
But what? Why shouldn't the, if the Jets defense is going to be good?
Is Sauce going to go out there and shut down DK Metcalf?
I don't know. But he should. He just got $190 million. Then go and do it.
He should. Let's see it. So I need to see it before I believe it. I don't think he can. I don't think he can. I think DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers are going to chew Sauce Gardner up.
Listen, I'm not even about making a prediction right now.
I don't know
what's going to. What I'm saying though, for the Jets to be on their way to being good, like the first thing that's got to show up this season is the defense.
Can I tell you though, what I like about the Jets setup? Because everybody's going to knock the quarterback, and I have myself. I said, well, they got a quarterback that can't throw.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what he is, Justin Fields is, that I love. He's not a rookie. And how many times have we seen it just recently with the Jets throwing these rookies to the wolves with head coaches who are overmatched? You can even go back to Bowles, who I like, and I think he's a solid head coach. But giving him Sam Darnold when he's not an offensive guy was not the right recipe. Obviously, Zach Wilson, not the right recipe. So when we saw the Jets, it was, hey, new start, Robert Saleh, our head coach can kick your head coach's ass. Here we go with a rookie quarterback. Like, the timeline for me was not right. I like that they have a rookie head coach, but didn't pair him with a rookie quarterback. So now you can have a guy who's got something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a chip on his shoulder, and he does have an elite skill set.
Yeah.
His legs.
Yeah, he does. There's no question.
I like that. I don't think he's going to beat you consistently through the air.
Yeah.
That's not what he does.
That's not what they're paying him for. So, and you know, listen, think about what I said about the Giants with the staleness with Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
You just knew that he wasn't going to be the guy. The one thing that I think is most deflating in terms of watching your football team, if you're the fan or a fan of a perennially bad team, is starting a season with like a transient guy who's 32, 33, bouncing around. He's a veteran. He's been on 3-4 teams. You know he's not the guy. At least there is youth and there is like a dynamic quality and athleticism and some bounce, a lot of bounce with Justin Fields. So he's in his mid-20s. He's got something to prove. And, you know, they're not going in the MVP, but at least it's not like Cade McNown or Kellen Clemens. I mean, the guy's got some upside.
The way that I would look at it would be with Alex Smith with the Niners. You could even say with the Chiefs, but Alex Smith with the Niners. And I know it was different, he top pick, whatever, but when they started to have success,
when Harbaugh came in that first year,
correct,
he was horrendous.
Now,
before
and
that.
I'm not saying that Fields is exactly that. I'm just saying that model, okay, we're going to try to build a foundation of winning some games and playing football the right way with a quarterback who I know his limitations, I know his strengths, and then eventually to get to another level, they went to Kaepernick at the time and took off and took it to another level.
Went bunkers in the Green Bay in the playoff game.
Exactly. You want to go with the Chiefs and use the Alex Smith, okay, setting it up for Patrick Mahomes. That, to me, would be where the Jets are at. It's year one with Aaron Glenn. The primary goal here should be to set the foundation of winning football, a right culture here. They think they have the right quarterback to do that for now. We'll worry about that later. I'm not talking about the individual matchups in week one.
I hear you.
I think that's smart.
Yeah, I like that approach.
The setup is right for the Jets
Well, listen, the Jets haven't won games, and it's no coincidence that the Jets also have not had an identity for a long time. So the first step is to establish the identity. I think it's going to be one of accountability, which they've never had, one of toughness, one of discipline, two things that have also been missing. So you start there. And you're right, like the evaluation, and that's the other thing too. It's not this automatic expectation, like, all right, the Jets got Rodgers, the roster's pretty good, go and win 12 games and go and try to win a Super Bowl. No, We're going to be fair to Aaron Glenn, and we're going to be fair to Jackson Dart, and we're going to be fair as these teams slowly build to whatever they're going to be. A little bit of a different standard because Glenn's in year one, and obviously Dable's in year four, Sal just said. But this is, it's almost like a fresh reset, and I welcome it.
Lawrence is in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. What's up, Lawrence?
Nope.
Guys, I'm fired up for the Giants team and for the season in general. I think that the defense is going to get after the football. And then even more importantly is the additions we made to our secondary, because last year our secondary was garbage. So, I mean, if we're getting after the quarterback and the secondary can cover, I know Russell Wilson can run an offense. It's all going to be on the coaching. If the Giants suck, it's going to be because the coaches, not because the players, I think.
I don't know if I would say that specifically, but I do think this is a big year to evaluate the coaching. And specifically when you talk about the Giants, well, it's not even just specific to the defense. I know that's supposed to be their strength, but I do think they got to score some points here. Dable's an offensive guy. Mm. They brought in Russell Wilson, a veteran quarterback. Forget Jackson Dart for a second. They have Malik Nabers. Their offensive line, at least right now, who knows what's going to happen with Thomas. I mean, you could get some news today that he's going to be out, but I'm going to assume he's going to be healthy. You have a decent running back in Tracy there. I don't think the Giants are going to be great running the football, but they should be much, much better and more consistent. Even Theo Johnson, tight end.
I like him. I've always liked him.
Me too. So hopefully he could stay healthy or is healthy right now and can be a playmaker for them.
He will be.
They should be able to move the football and score some freaking points.
Well, think about this, Sal. How many teams, I'm not saying there's none, but there's certainly not, you know, 17, 18, or 19. How many teams, because this is really what the NFL is about. It's about matchups and, you know, you know what I'm going to do, but you still can't stop what I'm going to do, even though you know what I'm going to try to do here. And how many teams in the NFL, starting with week one, come out of the tunnel and from an offensive perspective, have a player that the opposing DC is terrified about? The Giants have that in Malik Nabers. And as much as I love Garrett Wilson, the Giants have that more than the Jets have that. Garrett Wilson's very good. Malik Nabers, to me, is different. He's a little different than Garrett Wilson. He really is. Now, I like to see Garrett Wilson with a better quarterback, and that's obviously a different discussion. But when you at least have that as a starting point, one guy who terrifies every defensive coordinator, now if you are coached well and you get competent quarterback play and Andrew Thomas stays upright and healthy, the Giants should be putting up 24, 27, 30 points some weeks. Just, I mean, geez, can we get past the 13, 16, 17 points?
Just do the math. There should be options throughout the course of each play, and you have a veteran quarterback, a Super Bowl winning MVP quarterback, that should be able to make those decisions versus last year with Daniel Jones, where he's not pulling the trigger. He's taking forever. He's not seeing the right
guys,
read.
Guys, we're wide open downfield.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why we defend the Dable. Because it wasn't so much the schematics. This guy wouldn't pull the trigger.